We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
What's up, Mark Rohde?
Hi, guys. You said that you had a Chris Farley moment with Mike Singletary.
12-year-old me was there.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley, and this is the Chris Farley show.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, Mike Singletary. Mike, and I see you standing here. What are you thinking when you come back to Soldier Field? Does it all come back to you?
That's a lot of memories.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Remember that time when the snow was coming down in Soldier Field?
And that was awesome.
You remember that?
That was awesome. I think we've got time for one more question.
I have to bring up one play. I think the best play that I ever saw you make. The Eric Dickerson stop in the NFC title game that year. Is that top five on your list?
Well, it's definitely the year we went to the Super Bowl. It was part of the journey, so obviously it's going to be pretty high, but it was a great game for us.
That was awesome.
Do you know Otis Wilson?
Yeah, I do.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai, Mike Singletary.
Yep.
That's awesome. Oh, my God, is that what it sounded like on the radio?
That's it for this week's show. Thank you for being one of the greatest, I mean, a living legend, and just thanks for being on the show.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Hey, I get to host with Dan McNeil.
How about that? I didn't notice on Friday, when we had that, I didn't notice that Singletary referred to Grody as sir. Thank you, sir, he says to him on his way out the door. That's quite the respect he was shown by a guy he was worshiping for the 3 minutes he visited
Mike
with him.
Mike Singletary forgetting who the guy is that's interviewing him, what it is.
Yeah, it's
thank
just
you,
the default mechanism to sir, I say.
Sir, wow.
Yeah, it didn't register with Grody either. Yeah. He had stars in his eyes.
He said to the doting reporter, eyes a mile wide like saucers, Mr. Singletary, remember that stop you had on Eric Dickerson? Good stuff.
I'm on the sidelines of a Bears game. I'm going to be reminded about one specific tackle 34 years ago. What a weird life that would be.
Oh, that's good stuff.
It is. Did you have a good weekend, my friend?
I had a spectacular weekend. I had a good weekend from a food intake standpoint. I bonded with two of my three sons. Saw some music Saturday night in Michigan City, Indiana, a Neil Young holiday show that was absolutely spectacular. My buddy Johnny V is a guitar player and a piano player. He was terrific, and I enjoyed the hell out of some college football. You'll be surprised. Saturday, I enjoyed the Big 12 title. I found kickers in the Big 12 title game. Pick any one of these redshirt freshmen for the Bears next year.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
look at you scouting
very, very
some college
good.
Football.
We got kickers, and then yesterday, the NFL, I thought was really, really good. It'll come as no surprise to you or anybody who's heard me over the years to say that I am not among those ready to call the 49ers win in New Orleans the game of the year, but it was very dramatic, despite what I might think of a game with 90 points scored in it. The George Kittle play on 4th and 2 is going to go down possibly as one of the biggest plays of the year. It was very exciting. And that was the same goofball Saints DB who fell down and did a backwards tumble on one of the long touchdown passes Garoppolo threw yesterday. I was expecting both teams to come out and make statements defensively. Neither one did. People love points. You got big days out of both quarterbacks, and America loves that. So that's all fine and dandy. But I was led to believe both of these teams are real good, stout defensive teams, and you sure wouldn't have thought it yesterday.
Well, not that you asked, but I had a good weekend as well. Thank you.
How was your weekend, Danny?
It was lovely, Mac.
I know, that was kind of a diatribe.
That's okay. You just had to empty the chamber on your football thoughts.
There
totally
it is.
Fine. No, it was great. A lot of football, a lot of friends, food, beverages, a profitable weekend, gambling. It was lovely. I thought that game was a lot of fun, Saints and Niners. It didn't feel as crazy as Rams Chiefs last year. That was 48-46 instead of 54-51.
Right.
But it did feel like that could be an NFC Championship rematch type of game.
Certainly.
And I know this is fairly obvious in a league that prides itself on parity, but that has also been dominated by a dynasty over the last two decades. It's wide open. I could make an argument for the Saints,
right,
the Niners,
right,
the Packers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Patriots. Like, you can make an argument for a lot of teams to win the Super Bowl. And honestly, the team that I'd have the hardest time making an argument for out of the six that I just mentioned would be the New England Patriots.
Yeah, me too. Their offense just doesn't have an it factor. They can't run and they can't throw. Other than that, they're in great shape offensively. You think about what might have been if Antonio Brown weren't such a tool and pulled what he did earlier this season. That might be a team that's...
They could use a number one receiver,
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, they could use that, and their tight ends aren't very special either. But... Yeah, it is a wild-ass league. We can cross the Seahawks off, though, and that's one thing that gets me. It's just like every week when we start, at least I do, I find a team that's like, okay, maybe they're involved in the conversation, and then they go out the following week and crap the bet. I was starting to come around on the Texans, and they get pasted by the Broncos yesterday. I mean, whipped. Their defense was lost yesterday. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, the Texans were not one of the teams that I mentioned for sure. I bet the Broncos personally had him in Who Do You Love. Drew Lock looks like one of those players who just, you know, he'll have a good first few weeks in the NFL. Someone will get him on film. They'll figure it out. They'll adjust to his adjustments, and it'll be this back and forth game. But I liked him a lot as a quarterback prospect coming out of Missouri. And the Texans defense, like you said, has some serious problems. The Patriots defense, though, I will continue to say, bum slaying. They are overrated. They've got a really good secondary and not a whole lot else other than Bill Belichick game planning, which is obviously a huge thing. Mm. But in their three games against AFC playoff opponents that they could face, the Texans, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, they've given up 88 points. In their other 10 games, they've given up 80 points.
Mm-hmm.
When they've played good teams, they have not been that impressive. Like, I just... This team is very overrated. They are excellently coached, both sides of the ball. You obviously, like, Foxborough's a tough place to play, the game plan and all of that. But how could you make an argument that that team right now could go through the Ravens and the Chiefs in back-to-back weeks?
Well, I won't make that argument. And I was, you know, you were on the right side of that one. I was not. I've been of the mindset every year at this time, people start to suggest the Patriots are finished and it's all over for Brady and the Brady Belichick regime is coming to an end. And I have felt that way in past years and bet against them and been wrong. I think this time it's legit. I don't see them getting deep into the playoffs. I don't know how they would put enough points on the board to do so. And what you're saying about the defense is true. And Mahomes wasn't all world last night, but he didn't have to be.
No, it just...
They played with a lead.
And it didn't seem overwhelming. Like, nothing... It didn't seem like they were able to, like, clamp down on the Chiefs. They weren't playing that game 10-9. Like, the Chiefs were moving the ball fairly consistently. There was a blocked punt. There was some weird... You know what I mean?
Double thud, man.
Like how the Patriots would move the ball was with gimmicky trick plays that just don't feel...
All night,
Didn't feel sustainable. Listen to some of these numbers. Tom Brady has 8 straight games with a passer rating of under 100. The longest streak in the NFL. 8 straight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there that are starting every week. No one has had a longer stretch of games with a passer rating under 100 than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is averaging his fewest yards per attempt since 2002.
It's in the sixes, right?
Everything is a check down. 2002 for Tom Brady. Over his last 10 games, he has a passer rating of 78.9, which is 25th. Out of 27 qualified quarterbacks, yards per attempt in those 10 games, dead last in the NFL. Like I said, leads the league in throwaways this year. They have no downfield offense.
No.
They have no running game.
No.
They have no pass protection. What do they do well?
Yeah, well.
I honestly, if it wasn't the Patriots, we would be saying this team is one and done in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Those guys in Boston, the guy, what's the, Freddie, the morning host, Freddie Toucher, is that his name?
Fred Toucher.
Annoyed by us.
He wants to come on and do Massachusetts and Boston movies.
He was annoyed by having to make predictions about another Patriots Super Bowl when we talked to him before the big game last February. So he doesn't have to do that this year.
No, he'll be.
You don't have to make that annoying trip to Miami to do Yak Week before the Super Bowl.
It was an odd thing, though. It was jarring to watch, wasn't it? To see Brady on the field, Belichick on the sidelines, at home.
He has this look on his face because often he's still very involved emotionally, and he's yelling, and he's trying to get guys fired up. He didn't do a lot of that last night. He appeared to me to be resigned to his fate, and that is an early exit, and maybe seriously examine whether he wants to do this another year.
That I thought his last drive, though, before they got stopped on fourth down, where he took off and did a rare Tom Brady run these days.
Yes.
His emotion after that was even
the
high
first
for
down
him.
Mechanic.
Like that part was like, wow, Tom Brady especially crazy on this one. It's the longest run he's probably had in 12 years.
Well, John, I absolutely felt as someone who was betting the Chiefs and rooting for the Chiefs that when he had that run and he popped up and did it, I was like, they're going to figure out a way to pull this rabbit out of their butts, out of their head,
out of their head,
wherever they're pulling rabbits. But it was insane. And then I would also suggest, not to just completely bury Tom Brady here, I thought he did have a nice moment yesterday, that Tariq Cohen or Eddie Jackson could take note of. You want to know how the GOAT handles getting booed at home? A little something like this.
Tom, when you guys were heading to the locker room after the first half, there were some audible boos coming from the crowd throughout the stadium. Can you guys hear that on the field when you guys are heading to the locker room?
Yeah, you hear cheers, you hear boos. It's part of being in sports.
What was your reaction when that happened after you guys finished with the 7 points in the first half?
I tried to go in and play better, basically.
That's how a veteran handles
That's
the boos.
That's how a veteran handles it.
Yeah.
It's part of being in sports.
Part of being in sports.
Cheered and booed.
Mm-hmm. Can't boo a team after they won the NFC North the year before, but Boston fans can boo Tom Brady, who's the most accomplished player in NFL history.
Just thought it was a little instructive.
Part of being in sports.
Six-time Super Bowl champion getting booed in the first half of a regular season game.
In addition to the offensive issues we've talked about, they don't have a kicker either. They don't trust their kicker from 41 yards. They're going for it on, what was it, 4th and 4 last night, I think, because they don't trust Nick Folk from 41 yards.
Well, I mean, because it was Nick
Folk.
And
I thought Nance was right to point it out, and Romo kind of dismissed it, just saying, well, they need touchdowns. I think they were down by 10. At the time, I think it was 17-7. You're going to kick the field goal. You make it a one-possession game. I thought it made sense to kick the field goal if you try. But if you don't trust him from 41 yards, jeez.
Well, I mean, they've had, what, 4 kickers this year? Nick Folk, Kai Forbath, Goskowski.
I don't know where the tackle vineyard, Jerry Angelo, tried so desperately to find is, but I know where the kicking vineyard is. It's in the Big 12. They grow kickers in the Big 12.
Oh, that's who you want?
Find me a Big 12 kicker for your Bears next year. Yeah.
You got a problem, though.
Yeah,
all
they're
the
underclassmen.
All the kickers you like are youngsters. they're all 19.
Kids. They're kids. The Oklahoma kicker didn't miss a kick all year.
Yeah, that's impressive.
That's a lot of extra points, too.
I learned that during the Big 12 championship game as well. That is impressive. Brett Maher.
Don't mock me.
I'm just saying,
There's no vineyard out there.
He's not eligible.
Well, I know.
He's not eligible.
Maybe
to be
they
on
can
the
talk
Bears.
Him into coming, you know?
He's on the Baylor Bears. Yeah. He can't be on the Chicago Bears yet. It's not mocking you. It's just looking around the league. Vinatieri placed on IR.
Yep.
Season-ending surgery on his knee. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys play the Bears. Brett Maher goes on a charitable visit with the Cowboys to a hospital, gets cut when he gets back to the facility. So the Cowboys need a new kicker. The Patriots have had 4 kickers this year. Who likes their kicker?
Yeah.
You got the Ravens. The Ravens like their kicker.
And you got to wait for both the Oklahoma and the Baylor kickers. They're just babies.
Top of the hour on the score was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. And the hour is brought to you by Seattle Sutton. Your good health is their true
mission.
Sometime down the road, though, we may love us some John Mayers or some Gabe Berkich of Baylor.
Oh.
Yeah.
Put him in your kicker
Gabe folder. Gabe Berkich. Now remember that name. He's going to be valuable in the 2022 draft.
Didn't Spiegel have a kicker folder to go with his caravan?
The folder was Spiegel's folders were invented when the Bears were searching for a GM. That's what was the genesis of the Spiegel folders.
Of the Manila folders.
All of the GM candidates, because I remember we had so many laughs about the expense of the guy with the Giants. Because, you know, we just ran with a narrative. There was one little paragraph, I think Brad Biggs had it, where his reputation is he's not a real hard worker.
Nice.
So we played with that for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's like, you going to go to the game this weekend? Nah, I'm just going to watch on TV.
Not a real hard worker.
I'm going to roll on it and maybe nap and catch the second half a little bit later on when I get up.
Boomer Esiason will join us at 3. Let's try to figure out the NFC hierarchy next on The Score.
The division leaders right now, San Francisco, won classic game with the Saints today. Green Bay and New Orleans and Dallas leading the divisions at the moment. Seattle is a wild card. Minnesota would also be a wild card. In the hunt are the Rams. Chicago winning on Thursday.
These are great days we're living, bros.
Can't take the Bears out of your in the hunt graphic, even though mathematically they got less than a 5% chance to make the playoffs.
They're second.
They are second
They're
as the
second
teams on the outside.
In the hunt graphic,
That's true.
They're lurking.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Purdue. Season and single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. Boomer Esiason in half an hour. So here's the NFC playoff picture if it ended today, which of course it does not. The San Francisco 49ers at 11-2 with the big win over the Saints yesterday would be your one seed. The Packers at 10-3 would be the two seed, getting a bye in the first round of the playoffs. The Saints are also 10-3, but because they're 8-3 against NFC opponents and the Packers are 7-2, the tiebreaker for the bye would go to the Packers. The Cowboys would host a playoff game as the winner of the NFC East at 6-7. They would play your Seattle Seahawks, who are 10-3 as the 5 seed. The Minnesota Vikings at 9-4 are the 6 seed in the NFC wild card.
Mm-hmm.
That is a monster playoff scenario when you compare it to the AFC, Bills.
It's Baltimore and everybody else.
It seems like it.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Chiefs are surging. They've won 3 straight. Patriots have the pedigree, but then there's real flaws in the Texans, Bills, and Steelers.
Yeah, and I don't mean to discount the Chiefs. They're right on the periphery there, but Baltimore is the team that has distanced itself very quietly yesterday, beating a playoff team, beating a good team on the road, just another day in the office for Lamar Jackson, and they go to Buffalo, and that thing was never really a close game, even though the score wasn't crazy lopsided. Yeah, the NFC is top heavy. Those are 6 pretty good football teams. A couple of them great football teams.
Yeah, because like, would it be completely ridiculous to see the Vikings beat the Saints? I would say no.
I don't think they. I don't think they have enough.
I think that's pushing a line of pretty crazy.
Yeah. All right, but what if it was flipped? What if the Saints get the 2 seed and the Packers are the 3 seed? Would it be because they have the same record right now? They're both 10-3. Would it be ridiculous for the Vikings to beat the Packers? Division game, third.
I don't think the Packers are that good.
Yeah, I don't think they are either.
Ridiculous to say with their record, but I'm still not bought in. I mean, they're going to be hoisting the Lombardi Trophy and I'm going to be claiming this. But
you can run on Green Bay. They're a little bit suspect defensively.
Their best win is in Kansas City, but it was in that time when the Chiefs were pretty injured.
When the best player wasn't playing.
Yeah, right. They won in Arrowhead. I understand, but they had multiple injuries there.
They're upset today in Green Bay. I heard from Mitchawaki. They're not exactly throwing a celebration over their narrow victory, I guess, they're feeling over the Redskins yesterday.
We know what that's like.
Yeah.
Being upset over after wins.
And I imagine Vikings fans probably, it's a 13-point win, and you're kind of not knocked out by that. They should have put 42 points on the board against the Lions yesterday. David Blau did nothing in the first half to the Vikings the way he did to the Bears when he threw for 179 yards on Thanksgiving Day.
It's just weird. Like the Packers are going to go into the playoffs. Their last 3 games are all division games.
They obviously have the Bears this week at Lambeau. We will be at the Brat Stop in Kenosha on Friday with the whole Score lineup.
The iconic Brat Stop.
Getting you ready for the game. It's presented by Kenosha Subaru and the Subaru Share the Love event going on now through January 2nd. Then the Packers are in Minnesota on Monday Night Football. And then they're in Detroit to end the season. So say the Packers go 2-1 to end the year in those division games, finish at 12-4. They'll have no win that anyone would say is great. Winning in Dallas, beating the Bears, the Vikings, and in Kansas City without Pat Mahomes. It's just an odd...
Not really a signature win in there.
Not a signature win, but they easily could be 13
all right.
and 3 or 12-4 mm-hmm. with that as their resume and a bye in the first round of the NFC playoffs. And I think that they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I'd have the Saints and the Niners slightly ahead of them. That game I saw yesterday seemed to be two teams that can do a little bit more than the Packers can. Well, but I think the Packers could win that game, in San Francisco.
I think one of the things, you know, we've talked about what it means to in the AFC with the Chiefs beating the Patriots in Boston, Bourbon Boston. What does it mean for the 49ers, for Jimmy Garoppolo? Because he now, a couple of occasions this year, has silenced critics by having big games when they needed him to have a big game. And he was very poised yesterday. He was terrific yesterday.
Yeah, Garoppolo looked as impressive as he's looked against a real team all year.
That's supposed to be a real defense. They didn't show up at home yesterday playing like it.
And their running game, man. Tevin Coleman basically not involved
mm-hmm.
and it not mattering.
Right.
Figuring out, you know, whether it's Mostert, whether it's going to be Breda, whether it's going to be Coleman, like game planning for that is tough. You know George Kittle's going to get his targets. And you know they're going to run the ball a lot. But who, where, inside, outside, it's yeah. very, very tough to game plan.
George Kittle also, because I know this is important to him because he loves the Good Morning Football crew, I think cinched another angry run yesterday with that run with that dude tugging at his face mask and he carries him another 15 yards. That's the kind of thing Tuesday's Angry Runs is all about. And he's already won it at least once this year.
Let's hear what it sounded like on Niners radio.
Fourth down. They've got to get to the 35-yard line. They're on their 33. Garoppolo gun. 2x2. Bourne and Emmanuel Sanders left. Kittle backs up. Kittle's coming in motion. The rookie Gardner Johnson following. Three left. Richie James Jr. right. Garoppolo back. He throws out left. Caught. George Kittle down the sideline. 40. Runs by a man. Stiff arms a man. Still pushing. No flag. Three flags come in. They may get George for a personal foul on the stiff arm. Marcus Williams grabbed his face mask. That's going to be a penalty on New Orleans.
Wow.
That will be a tack on.
Look at George Kittle's a beast.
Face mask. Defense. Number 43.
That'll put him in field goal range right now. And it was Marcus Williams who gave up the Minneapolis miracle, who may have just lost the game for the Saints.
You want one guy on this football team to get the ball, you want George Kittle to have the football because you know he's going to run with some conviction and he's not going to get tackled.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Texter's asking, is Jeff Joniak also the 49ers broadcaster?
That's what I was mouthing to you at the beginning of the soundbite. It sounded so much like Jeff Joniak. I don't know if you read my lips.
I couldn't tell what you were saying. He looked like Dave Jude. I was like, who's he talking about? So is this a Roger radio allegation? Like all radio play-by-play guys are the same? I don't know. I didn't hear Joniak.
Well, and the analyst, too, just yelling, face mask. I could hear Thayer doing that, yelling face mask repeatedly.
Well, that was also that guy's first game, right? Because the Niners of the crew had the color analyst, Tim Ryan, suspended because he said that the ball blends in with Lamar Jackson's dark skin,
right.
And that's why he's good at mesh points.
He did.
Like, Jesus.
Yes, he did.
Just word your point better, my man. Good Lord. But apparently, at the big moment when Robbie Gould's lining up for the game-winning kick, the suspended Niners broadcaster kind of came up a little bit.
It's been a hard year for Robbie Gould, to be sure. With all the long snappers, he's had four of them. The injury to the quad, but here he goes. They're going to put it right on the 20-yard line. It's a 30-yard field goal to beat the Saints in the Dome. Nelson will snap. Wisnowski will hold. Here's your football game. High snap. Wisnowski got it down. Robbie Gould's kick is good!
Oh, my God.
Robbie Gould beats the New Orleans Saints at the gun.
Wow.
The 49ers, both losses this year, were at the gun by a field goal today.
Greg, I can't do this.
They do it.
I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore.
I told Robbie Gould he's going to be the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week today.
That's it. Tim Ryan, I can't do this.
48-46, the 49ers beat the Saints in New Orleans. What a football game this turned out to be.
I can't. Tim Ryan, I can't do it.
God, that's ridiculous. Hey, you know, this great game-winning moment.
Too much good.
Yeah, let me remind everyone of the controversy that surrounded Niners radio during the game-winning call. I'm sure their bosses loved that.
His dark skin color with a dark football with a dark uniform.
He'll be back. I saw Richard Sherman went to bat for the guy. He said, "Oh, listen, he just worded his idiotic point poorly."
Well, you guys see what Lamar Jackson did yesterday? Came out in the first half, was sleeveless, and then I must have been cold in Buffalo, and he came out with the white sleeves on.
Yes.
On Sunday afternoon.
Still pretty good at the play fakes.
It's like amazing. He's still, they still can't find the ball and tackle him.
Got this figured out.
God. That was a great game. I know it's not your cup of tea.
Oh, it was exciting.
In terms of drama.
Back and forth, yeah. In a fantasy football player's dream. I mean, if you had either Drew Brees or Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, and had them both on your bench so you could play Tom Brady, you deserve the Idiot of the Week award.
Oh, but you had the high score in your league.
I know.
Our league,
yes. Yes. And you were right behind me.
Right behind
Dan
you.
Dan Jr., yeah. And I played the wrong quarterback. I played Brady over both of those cats yesterday.
Oof. Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Going to talk a little more fantasy football.
Yeah, how about that? We're 1-2 in points in our league in week 14.
I had a nice fantasy week. Yeah. I was in the playoffs that started in my other two leagues. Won one game, lost one. Won in the league that I cared about.
Yeah,
so.
Lost almost a G at the window. You see why that's a little bit more critical to me?
I mean, Mac, I bet plenty every week, too. It's more critical to me as well, but I just know that, you know, we can find a high-stakes league if you want for the degenerates.
No. Put I should retire from all of it. I should.
Going to be down too much this year?
No. Not even, no. Are you kidding me? I haven't
Then
even,
don't
no.
retire. Then you're paying for your entertainment.
No. Yeah. I have a budget and I never exceed it. I'm just fine. I think
you
it might
never exceed it.
I never exceed it.
Oh, that's tremendous discipline. No. So if you went over your budget before the NFC Championship game, you just wouldn't bet the Super Bowl?
It wouldn't happen because I would take bye weeks well in advance of that. I don't even think I've been anywhere close to where I've been at budget.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I've gone over budget before. It's tough. Tough to stop, Mac. It's an addiction, that rush, you
Get
know?
Yourself a post office box and a credit card to another address, Danny. Steph doesn't have to see it. One of those deals.
She knows.
Yeah, I did that when I was about your age once.
She knows what's going on. She's like, just be responsible. You know, you make your money, I make mine. We'll be fine. I buy clothes, you gamble. It's
what's
fine.
This Visa bill from a addressed to you in a post office box? Oops. Yeah.
Did you go to the casino? Why are there ATM withdrawals? No, I just had to go meet kid and pay off the account. So, you know, it happens. These are the types of things that grown men do. And then you just
Ken Griffey Jr. is your bookie?
No. It's just the man goes by kid. I settle up through one of my best friends. I've known him for forever, and he's got the connect. So sometimes you've maxed out your Venmo transactions for the month. You're like, I gotta meet you with cash.
Got to do what you got to do.
These are the types of things that happen. Robbie,
does Kid by chance have Big Cat Williams' voice?
He does not. No. God.
What is he, a gambling engineer? Schuster's guy, yes.
A betting engineer, I believe.
Hi, we're talking with Vincent, and Vincent is not his real name. We're protecting the innocent, or maybe not so innocent, though, I'm not really sure. But anyway, Vincent, what is your profession?
I'm a betting engineer.
Betting engineer. So good.
Betting engineer.
You should get Big Cat on. He could
book
that.
You're right.
I'm taking your money. The vocal love child of Big Cat and Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Would you?
I still suggest we submit it for the Marconi Awards this year, just to see what would happen.
You've just opened up a bag of snakes that you can't close.
You're right.
You're absolutely right.
Boomer. I've seen that bag close up. The nap.
Boomer Esiason at 3. We've got Bulls tickets to give away, though, coming up in a few minutes on the score.
Yeah, any tickets laying around? Let me know.
We were just handed a pair of tickets to the Bulls game tonight, Mac. Bulls and Raptors, a pair of tickets to see the game tonight, courtesy of 670 The Score. Be caller number 10 to The Score's contest line at 312-591-6700. You win a pair of tickets for tonight. Good luck. That's 312-591-6700.
Caller 10, tribute to Bob Love. Good old number 10, Butterbean Love. Yeah. Bulls had a tough one over the weekend.
His jersey's in the Raptors, by the way, and they're playing the Raptors.
In the Raptors, I get it.
Jersey number one is going to the Raptors.
The defending champs.
Yeah, the defending champs are here. Bulls, tough one is right. Losing again to the Warriors is not a good look. That's not good. They're the worst team in the league, and you lost again. And then that Heat thing in overtime, it's just... They're not a good team. They're not a good basketball
team. Well, we get teased every now and again, and then they go back to losing games that you expect them to win. Actually, that can be said for their United Center brethren, the Blackhawks, too.
Yeah.
They look good on occasion and then crap the bed the next time out. They're putting way too much work on their netminders.
The Hawks?
Yeah, the Hawks.
Yeah, there's some rumblings. I was reading a piece on The Athletic today with Shyam Charania and Sam Amick saying that, you know, they think Jim Boylan is safe for now to play out the season, but that if it doesn't improve over the course of the year, that it could be more sweeping changes, including a front office overhaul. But
well,
who knows?
And what would that mean? Would that mean Gar Forman takes the bullet?
I don't
Unless
know.
Unless it means up on top. What are you really doing here?
I don't know. Like I don't know if that means the Paxson brothers and Forman and Boylan, or if it's just Gar and Boylan.
They gonna pop Doug Collins this time,
or give him the job? I don't know. Like
he's the one who's allegedly got the issues with Gar Forman. He's been very vocal about it.
Yeah, well, it's because he has eyes. I think is the reason why he has and ears. Eyes and ears are a big way to have problems with Gar Forman.
And he knows Chip Schaefer very well.
That's exactly right. Weird news dump, if you want to call this all news. In the last commercial break, our own Bruce Levine, who will be on in an hour and a half, he's joining us at 4:20 today, from the winter meetings in San Diego, that the Cubs have had talks with the Phillies on Chris Bryant. There's nothing there at the moment, and his service time grievance is going to be an issue in any trade because we still could be weeks away from the arbiter ruling on whether or not Chris Bryant has 1 or 2 years left of service time. Mm-hmm. So John Heyman noting that maybe a contingent deal could be in place saying, okay, if there's 2 years left on Bryant, this is the trade. If there's 1 year left on Bryant, this is the trade. Mm-hmm. So the assumption is that he's got the 2 years left and he will not win the grievance, but apparently – that is a snag for the Cubs right now as they potentially look to trade Chris Bryant.
So what would Philly be throwing back? What would you be getting from the Phillies? If the Cubs are going to deal Chris Bryant to Philadelphia, what are the Cubs getting?
I assume high-end pitching prospects, like young, cost-controlled pitching with either a little bit of major league service time or none would be my assumption. The Cubs need young, cheap, controlled pitching to get ready for, you know, the loss of Hamels, the bad money for Chatwood, old John Lester. Like, I would assume that's what the Cubs are looking for, but I don't know. They obviously have center field needs. They have second baseman needs, but they also just need to shed payroll, according to all reports. And I'm getting really sick and tired of these damn reports that they need to shed payroll. But
and you move Bryant, you also need a third baseman, too, so put that on the list.
Oh, no, David Bote's going to win my 400 plate appearances bet.
Yeah, he didn't get there, did he?
No, he didn't.
Just a little bit short.
350-something.
Dodged one there.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get it last year, then is he going to ever get it? I guess if you trade Chris Bryant and all of a sudden you're a 75-win team, then maybe, but boy.
You have the Cubs as a 75-win team without Chris Bryant, huh? When you've been hating on Chris Bryant all these years? He's a 13-win player.
That is an interesting angle.
He's a 75-win team.
Not clutch at all, but worth 13 wins.
Yeah, what?
Who's getting outs on the pitching staff? One.
But wait, that's not related to Chris Bryant.
Okay, but then it's just you look at that lineup, and it's I'm not the biggest Chris Bryant fan on earth, but I don't think it's a good team if Chris Bryant's there or not right now. As constructed.
That's separate conversation.
Yeah, for a second, Chris Bryant, I still don't know if it's good enough to win a division.
Listen, if they kept Bryant and added Rendon, you don't think this team would be good enough to win the division?
Well, if you add Rendon, it would be, but Rendon's noticeably better than Bryant.
What Shep is saying is the window is closed. Basically.
It's shut, huh?
Once you close that
bag of snakes.
Who's getting outs in the starting rotation?
Hugh Darvish.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, and Kyle Hendricks.
How about the bullpen?
That's a problem. Bullpen's a problem. They got $188 million committed to payroll next year with question marks all over the roster.
Yeah, right. most notably pitching, too.
Yeah, most notably pitching.
Brandon Morrow's back on a minor league deal. Everything's fine.
Craig Kimbrell's here. Everything's going to be fine. And then there's this story that I'll just put out there, and then we can take it for what it's worth. Apparently, there is going to be some sort of investigation into the Patriots for filming an opponent. The Bengals say the NFL is investigating the Patriots over an incident. They had someone in Patriots garb in the press box doing filming at the Cincy-Cleveland game. The Patriots are saying that it was their advanced scout,
yeah,
and the film crew was authorized to be there to shoot a feature on the scout. They were doing a story on like workplace, like jobs in the NFL about like the life of an advanced scout, but the Bengals want to know why a Patriots employee had a film crew at their game. So
they're going to put it in their Super Bowl DVD just like the Astros did.
Just get excited for that story to dominate the airwaves for forever. So Shep has the Cubs being done. That's probably the biggest news of the segment where we gave away Bulls tickets.
Yeah, no kidding.
Done.
Who's getting out? You told me Darvish and Hendricks.
Yeah.
Hendricks regressed last year. Darvish has been, he had a great last 2 months. He's had a disastrous first year and a half here.
Quintana. You're welcome.
That's fine.
Yeah, you got Quintana. You got John Lester.
Oh, boy. Man, I'm inspired.
It's going to be exciting. 86 wins can win the Central next year. Let's go. Brewers are selling
Brewers
off pieces.
And everything, sure.
Yeah, right?
Christian Yelich is still hurt, sure.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying that the Cubs and Sox are possible suitors for Dallas Keuchel.
Yes.
So don't let the Sox lose to the Cubs on Dallas Keuchel, or else I'm taking a leave of absence.
Oh, no. We can't afford that. Can't have the Phenom doing the sound around here. It'd be terrible.
You literally can't.
Yeah, it's literally not possible. Coming up next, Boomer Esiason on if we should all be betting against Eli Manning one more time tonight. Next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.